Amen. I'm telling you, they got it. And I'm telling you, praise the Lord. Well, we're going to read here about the Apostle Peter, what he writes to these folks that are scattered abroad. And I want to begin in verse 3. He talks to them about, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Boy, we just sang about that, amen? Mansion over the hilltop. Boy, I'll tell you what, I was telling somebody, you had an old preacher friend of mine, he was a funny guy, but man, he was straight on doctrine. And he said, "You know, Brother Tim," he said, "whenever I got saved," he said, "I thought all of me was saved." And he said, "I was preaching a funeral down in a little town not far from him." And I knew where it was, can't think of the name of it now. But anyway, and he said, "They didn't sing no Christian songs." Said, "This guy was a lost man." And he said, "They sang honky-tonk songs." And he said, "Next thing I know," he said, "I looked down, my foot's just going back and forth and back and forth." He said, "Just tapping away." And he said, "I realized I ain't all the way saved yet." He said, "My leg still needs to be born again." Amen. Well, if you can not sing Mansion Over Hilltop and not get just a little bit of movement, amen, there's something wrong with you. "To this inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God," praise God, "through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice." Now listen to this, "though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." I got to reading that and I got to thinking, you know, with all this hoopla and religion today, you know, it comes down to times whenever things just don't go the way they ought to go. Trials, troubles, difficulties. And I got to thinking about this, that there is a contrast that the Apostle Peter is trying to instill or get these folks to see. When you think about heaven and you think about the glories of heaven, the things that are reserved in heaven, the glories that's going to be in heaven, what a time that's going to be. But the reality is, we live down here. Man, when you think of one day the rapture happening, Jesus descending, and the saints of God called out, what a day that's going to be. Problem is, we live here. Amen? That's not happened yet. When we think we are kept by the power of God unto a salvation that's ready to be revealed, but it ain't revealed just yet. We ain't there yet. Still got this old body, still got this old nature in us. Still got this old sinful body dealing with sin in us. And I'm just here tonight to maybe encourage you about your walk with the Lord and just say tonight that there is coming an end. Soon the season will end. Whatever trouble you're going through, it is only for a season. Here's the way the Old Testament man put it. It came to pass. Thank God it didn't come to stay. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, thank God, you know, we're in the midst of the seasons changing right now. We're going from fall maybe into winter. And Lord, praise God, we're coming back into spring before long. And then summer. And then fall. And then winter. And Lord willing, and on and on and on and on. And so we understand that seasons come and they go. And there's that short period of time in between them that we enjoy the spring, or you enjoy the fall, or enjoy the winter, whichever season you enjoy. Boy, I'm glad. I'm not much on winter anymore. I used to be, but it's just not my favorite time of the year. for sure. The other day when it first got cold, I had a sweatshirt, a shirt, a t-shirt, and a jacket on. I'm still cold. Thinking, man, I must be getting old. Amen. My office was about 112 degrees, and I'm bundled up thinking, even so come Lord Jesus. I was telling Brother Troy, by the way, he's home and doing all well, doing better. And I was telling Brother Troy that I think the church ought to probably send me to the Florida Keys on a mission trip from January to the end of February, paying my salary and giving me an expense along the way. Amen? I mean, there's no sense to endure such hardships as what we endure up here. Probably not going to happen, but it is a good prayer request. And so we know what seasons are. We know that times come and they go, and though I thank God today, I do thank the Lord for the winter time. I'm sure that living in the controlled climate, like those nations that live along the equator, I'm sure that's pretty exciting for a while. But you know, it'd be pretty sad if you got to be 54 and had never seen snow and had never seen some of the things that we see from the seasons changing and such like. But I just want to say today that there are times in your life whenever the troubles are going to come. And the Apostle Peter said, now we've got something to look forward to, but the reality is we're living in a troublesome time. We're living in a time whenever things may not seem like they're working out the best from our point of view. The word heaviness means distress. And remember that these Christians were scattered abroad and that there was persecution from the Roman government, there was persecution from the Jews, and there was just persecution from the unsaved. And so they were living in a time in which to be a Christian would cost them something. I've been reading some history and some of the ungodly deeds that were happening or that has happened over the past to those that have claimed the name of Christ and the things that they endured and the things that they went through. And today I read there in Revelation that those that have suffered for the cause of Christ, one day God will bring vengeance upon those lost men and those lost women for such wickedness. But boy, I'll tell you what, when you're going through it, it sure is a troublesome time. It sure is. And he said, so this salvation that's ready to be revealed, we're greatly rejoicing in, though now for a season we're in heaviness. Though now it doesn't seem like it's going to pan out that way, we're still going to rejoice knowing that it is. I can see how excited everybody is. So the troubles you go through, they are just for a season. They are just for a limited time. And the word temptation simply means putting to proof. God is going to prove or put your faith to the test. Is it real? He's going to make you prove to yourself and prove to the world, prove to the church, prove to others, prove to Him that you are who you say you are. The trying of your faith. Trials mean proof or testing, trustworthiness. And you know, the things that we go through here on this earth are to make us more like Christ wants us to be. Is to produce in us a spirit or a model that is like Jesus Christ. Whenever you got saved, the ultimate purpose of God was to conform you to the image of Christ. Now that word conform means to put pressure on. If you have Play-Doh, and if you have kids or had kids, and if you have grandkids, they somehow like Play-Doh. And they are always making things out of Play-Doh. But it never happens by taking the Play-Doh and just holding it in your hand. There has to be conformity. There has to be pressure. There has to be something put on it to make it conform to your will, to what you want. And so God conforms us by the work of the Holy Spirit, conforming us, first of all, by dealing with us about sin, convicting us about sin, teaching us about righteousness, and guiding us into truth. And through that, God brings difficulties into our lives in order to conform us to what He wants us to be. Now, I wish today that I was a quick learner. I wish today that I didn't have to go through some of the troubles and trials that I go through over and over and over. But the purpose of trials is to conform us, to prove what we are. Now, he uses an example of gold. Now, I've never been to a refinery for gold or silver or anything else. Whenever Brother Jim and Brother Eric and I were down at Mexico, Brother Matt took us down to a silver mine. And so it showed us different things in the silver mine and this, that, and the other. And they would showed us where they'd mine that silver out and then take it up and then they'd refine it and get all the impurities out. But they would use fire. And fire is not meant to hurt the gold. It is meant to refine the gold. It is meant to bring the best of the gold out and leave the worst behind, the dross, the impurities. And the purpose of trials in your life, whether they're spiritual trials, financial trials, physical trials, family trials, is God is trying to bring the best out of you. I'd think of a different way to do it if I was doing it. Amen? But that's the way God chooses to do it. It's through troubles and trials. And all of us face them. And what God wants to do is put pressure to conform us to what He wants us to be. Like His Son. Like Christ. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is the mind of humility? We all have a problem with that. I've been teaching in my Sunday school class the fear of the Lord. And the more I study the fear of the Lord, the more I think I should have taught this 22 years ago. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Here's the verse. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Hate evil. And what I told my Sunday school class is, it's easy for me to hate evil out there. It's easy for me to hate evil out here. But the evil that God wants me to hate is what's in here. Now I'm to hate that out there and I'm to hate what's in here. But I'm to hate it in here first. And then he describes it. Pride. You find a proud person and you'll find a person that has no fear of God in them. Yeah. Oh, it's true. Amen. I don't want to teach my Sunday school class, but I could. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil, or is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, adorning your arrogance with your status, with your achievements. Not only are they proud, but they want to make everybody else look bad by what they think they are. The evil way and the froward mouth do I also hate. Then the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. And see, whenever God wants to conform us to His Son, He has to get some things out in order to make us like Him. Dealing with sin. And so he said that the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth. See, God is not wanting to hurt your faith. God is wanting to purify your faith. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Bible says in 1 John 3 and verse number 3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Speaking of seeing Jesus and being conformed to Him one day. And so the Bible, Peter is writing to these and he said, now listen. He said, we have something to look forward to. We have something to rejoice about. We have some hope inside of us that this world doesn't have. But right now we're going through some manifold temptations, some manifold testings of our faith, so that whenever we come through that, we're not worse, but we're more like Christ. Notice what the Bible says. That we might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, the purpose of these trials has nothing to do with you. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I'll just tell you what. Seemed like I'd get something out of them. Oh, you'll get something out of them, but that's not the main purpose. The main purpose is that God can be praised. Now, if you're like me, which probably you are, when troubles come, you don't instantly say, oh, praise God, hallelujah, glory. I'm probably thinking, I ain't liking this. Give that to my neighbor. I'll take curtain number two, amen? I mean, when troubles come, we aren't instantly in the mode of praising God, are we? I mean, you walk out and you're already late and you got a flat tire. It's like, come on. Now, you may not say that, but I do. I mean, you're working hard for the Lord, and yet problem after problem after problem comes into your life. You think after a while, come on, Lord. Man, here I am trying to do right, and you got a whole bunch of that crowd out there not trying to do anything. Lay some of this on them. Okay, I guess I'm the only one that's that carnal to think that such a thing. Well, I think that every once in a while. I think, Lord, this would work better on so-and-so. I guess guarantee it would. But you know what God's wanting to do? God's wanting me to honor Him. Praise. The Bible says something along these lines. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Yeah. You know, God just wants us to be thankful. Thankful that, you know, I can't walk. Thankful that, you know, troubles are coming. I've got health issues. I've got family issues. God wants you to be thankful. Yep. That's the first step that God wants you to do. Just praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Oh, man. I could praise Him better if it didn't feel so bad. No. You know, ladies and gentlemen, God says these troubles and trials that you go through are for His praise. How's it going today? Well, praise God, I'm better than I deserve. Praise God, things are looking up. And if people know that you're going through troubles and trials, listen, they're going to be looking at you like, how can you praise God? You know why God gets such a bad name? Because we give Him one. They know we're saved. They know we go to church. They know we're trying to worship God. We're trying to be different, sort of saying all these things. They come up to us, how you doing? And man, about 20 minutes later, we're telling them how bad it is. I was telling you this story. Maybe I told my Sunday school class. We led this, we didn't leave, but this older family moved to the Benelde area, and they started coming to our church. And there's really good folks, and they was members there a couple years. And he passed away, kind of unexpectedly died. And she was she's really kind of dependent on him, but not, you know, so dependent she couldn't do anything. And so we'd go by and visit her every couple months and just try to encourage her along. She'd come to church. And so one day we hadn't seen her at church for a while. We went and visited her. And she was just so dead honest. You just had a hard time not laughing at stuff that she said. And so we had a little grocery store there in Benelde. And so we went by and visited her and asked her how she is doing. And we had another member in the church. And this other member in the church, I've told you about her so many times, you never ask her, how are you doing? Or 30 minutes later, she was just getting started. It was miserable, all right? And she's in heaven, I hope, now. She's dead, I'll put it that way. So we went and visited her, and we asked her how she was doing. She says, you know, I woke up today pretty good. She goes, I thought the day, the sun shining and all this stuff, you know. And she goes, I went to the store and had a few things into my cart and ran into Joyce. And as soon as she said that, man, I just, you know, I knew what was coming. And she said, before I left, she said, how are you doing, Joyce? She's telling me. She said, well, how are you doing? She said, well, I think I'm doing all right. She goes, you don't look all right. And she said, preacher, she told Brother Ray this, she said, before I got done, I left the items in my cart, come home, and went to bed. I felt so bad. I tell you, that's a story. That ain't even preaching story. Amen. That's the honest story. Man, I'm telling you, where's our praise at today? Well, how's things going? Well, praise God, they're doing well. When they may be awesome, they may be awful. But you know, we've been conditioned in this world to gripe and complain and murmur about every little thing that goes on. that we fail to remember that God says these troubles that you're going through, these difficulties, these trials, this proving of your faith is for His praise. You don't think God couldn't have not let that happen to you? Sure He could have. But He chose to let you go through it. Why? So you'll praise Him. He said that it might be found unto praise. His praise. Let me read you a verse. You may not even think this is real. So I'll read it to you. The Bible says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before hath ordained that we should walk in them." Yeah. Well, I said, what's so big about that? Well, all these things that God wants us to do, God's created us to walk in them, including the troubles and the trials that we go through. Yeah. So Peter says, he said, though now for a season, it's only going on for a little while, it will come to pass. But thank God that He did it. And He chose you to go through it. Man, I've been reading through Job, and I've just been trying to read real slow and with intention of trying to grasp what all of this says. And man, I'm telling you, this poor guy, I'll tell you, Brother Ray used to have a saying, with friends like this, who needs enemies? Amen? I'm telling you, those three guys, I don't know what they were thinking, but man, they laid it on Job. Amen? And Job tried to defend himself, and then I think he even got aggravated in trying to, you know, really defend himself with kind of being a critical spirit about things. And what he come to find out is whenever God began to speak, here's what Job said early in the chapter. He said, I wish I knew where God was. I'd like to have a talk with Him. But when God starts speaking, Job said, oh, man, I shouldn't be saying anything. Yeah. Now, if you're a health and wealth preacher, you kind of skip over Job. Amen? He's not a good example of health and wealth. But I tell you what, he's an example of a believer. And Job said at the end, he said, you know what? God's good. Don't have any money. I don't have my health. My children are all gone. And God is good. Yeah. Can you say that whenever you go through problems? When you're having difficulties with somebody? When you're going through struggles of the Christian life? When you're going through struggles within with sin, can you say, oh, praise God? When the things that you have are working not to the good but to the worse of you, it seems. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. But you know, every once in a while the devil translates that this. We know everything works for evil for you. You've been trying to do good and it's working for bad. Now, don't tell me He hadn't told you that, because I know better. He has told us that. He said it's for His praise and for His honor, for His recognition. Doesn't have anything to do with you, so that God can be honored. I wonder what would happen across America today if every church was filled with people that just gave God the praise and honored Him for the problems they were having. Boy, I tell you what, it don't take long. If you ain't careful, and you start reading things that people say on social media, and you'll think that God's the worst person there is in the world. You know, just listen a little bit. You think, oh, man. I mean, you look out in the news world and you'll think, boy, the news world doesn't have anything good to say about God. Religion doesn't have anything good to say about God. But the saints of God ought to have something good to say about Him. This thing I'm going through, this trouble I'm going through, it's for His honor, for His praise. And the Bible says, and glory. That God gets glory out of it. How you doing? Man, I came through that thing just like lightning. Whoo! Man, you're a great Christian. You better believe I am. No, it ain't for nothing me at all. Oh man, God did this. God did this. God did this. God did it. You ought to be able to record event after event of what God did so that He gets the glory. Man, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when we go through these problems and these troubles and these difficulties, man, so much time, it's all about my glory. It's about what I'm going to do. It's about me. When I come out of it, how do I look? When you come out of it, how do you look? He said, I want the glory out of it. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Paul said, I know how to be hungry, and I know how to be filled. I know how to be lifted up. I know how to be abased. He said, I know all these things. I know all these things. I've learned in all these things to be content. I've learned in all these things how to go through suffering need and having no need at all. He said, I've learned in all these things that God is getting the glory out of my life. I wonder if that's true about me. And I wonder if it's true about you. Is God getting the glory out of you? Jesus said this. This is an interesting, this is a change of prayer life. Jesus said, Jesus said, ask anything in my name and I'll do it that the Father may be glorified in the Son. All right? Now, the whole connection of having prayer answered is, can God get glory out of it? Then we read in James where he says, you have not because you ask not, and you have not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lusts. Let me put it this way. On your own glory. It's all about me. I tell you what, Lord, I do need a brand new vehicle so I can drive around sporting around like I am cool stud of the day. I doubt God gives you one. Your banker might, but I doubt the Lord does. You see, our prayer is even connected. Jesus said, whatever you're going to ask, he said, I'll do it that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So if the Son can't be glorified, then the Father can't be glorified, and your prayer's not going to make it. See, God's interested in His glory, not in your glory. God's interested in His glory, not your glory. God's interested in being lifted up, not you being lifted up. God's interested in His name being exalted, not your name being exalted. God's interested in drawing men to Him, not drawing them to you. Yeah. And so here's what the Bible says. He said this trying of your faith and these troubles that you're going through, that the trying of your faith might be found unto the praise and the honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. One day Jesus is coming. One day He's going to descend from the clouds and call us out and take us to heaven. And what a glory that's going to be. And when He comes, all these things that we look at and trouble our hearts about are all going to disappear. But I'll tell you what, the judgment seat, it may cost us because we didn't do them right. Well, preacher, I've been trying to live right and everything's going wrong. What are you supposed to do? Praise God. Well, I'll tell you what, I've been trying to treat everybody right and it seems like everybody treats me wrong. Praise God. David said, my enemies, he said, man, they lied and cheated and all these other things about me. He said, but whenever it came time for them to go through trouble, he said, I was like a brother to them. He's a better man than I am. He said, I was like one that mourned over their mother for their troubles. I'm like, get them, God. You don't ever think that? Shouldn't have said that out loud then. I figure I got some amens. We all think that. Yeah. The trial of your faith at His appearing. See, there's coming a day whenever Jesus is going to appear. And when He appears, that's what's going to matter. The judgment scene. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Trust in the Lord and just do good. Yep, just stay with it. Well, it doesn't seem like things are getting any better. Stay with it. That old boy that wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul, lost all of his money. about a year prior to that, lost his son, and then lost that family on that ocean place over there, somewhere in the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean. And got up in that place on his way to meet his wife and said, "It is well with my soul." God does all things good. Now, not everybody can do that. And it takes a lot of grace to accept what God's doing in your life the way God's doing it. It takes a lot of grace. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's just something about trouble that none of us like. There's something about hardships that none of us like. None of us do. I don't know any one person that raises their hand and says, "God, send me trouble." No. Here's what the Bible tells us, all right, or tries to teach us. That God is sovereign, and that if God is Lord of your life, then you have given Him the okay to do whatever He wants, and you'll be all right with it. Remember Peter? "Not so, Lord." You can't say "not so" and call Him Lord at the same time. Amen? "You're Lord of all, but I'm not doing that." No. Praise. When He comes. See, Jesus is coming. And when He comes, He's bringing judgment upon the saints of God for the works that they've done in their body, whether they be good or evil. And the Bible says on that day, all those things that we've gone through are going to be tested of whether they were done to His praise and honor and glory, or whether they were done in the flesh. And they that are in the flesh cannot please Him. Well, I'll tell you what, Brother Tim. You know what the Bible says? The Bible tells us to take the loss rather than go to court. The Bible tells us to just count it a loss and go on. You know what? We'll argue and fuss and fight for days before we take a beating, won't we? The Bible says to just let them things go. You know, if you was a Jew and you was out in the field working and you left your working tools out there, the Bible says you couldn't go back and get them. That taught diligence. Taught being accountable. So let's say you were out there and boy, you just went and bought these new utensils, whatever they are, not utensils, but gardening tools, whatever they were. Man, you're so proud of them. You know, I mean, that stuff cost money back then, the same way it does now. That'd be like buying a tractor now and then leaving it in the field and then your neighbor driving off with it. Shucks. Should have took that home with me. Amen. I mean, you went down, you bought you a rake and got you, you know, something to cultivate your land with, and you know, the busyness of the day, and you left it all out there. And you see this poor guy coming to walk along, smiling as big as he can, walking with your rake. And you say, "Hey, that's mine." He said, "No. You left it out yonder in the field, and the law says I get it." "Yeah, but I bought it. And I want it. It's mine." "Yeah, you're out of luck. Finders, keepers, leavers are losers." Amen. Man, hard not to have bitterness towards that guy, wouldn't it? You didn't think he'd let you borrow it. Then if you borrowed it, you wouldn't ever have to give it back because it was against the law for the guy that loaned it to you to come get it back. See, there's a way to work the law to your benefit. Come on now. Y'all never thought of that? I guess I'm the only guy that thinks about how to get out of this mess. And so here he is, you know, and you're thinking, "Man, here I am. I just bought all this new stuff, and I, you know, the hurriedness of the day, and I left all my stuff, and now all my stuff's gone. Now I got to buy new stuff, and boy, Lord, it sure be good. Here I am trying to raise crops and hasn't rained, and here I'm trying to raise sheep, and they won't have sheep, and they just won't have lambs. They won't do what they're supposed to do, and you know, Lord, here I am trying to be a good neighbor to my neighbor, and he's being a knucklehead, and you know, Lord, here I am, and God said, "Just praise me. Do it for my glory. Take a beating. I'll settle it one day. But if you settle it, then I'll have to settle it the other way. So that's what the Lord teaches us. He said, now listen, you're going to go through trials. If you're a Christian, you know, whenever I got saved, I guess I was just dumb. I thought, man, if you get saved, everything's good. Well, it is, except for what's not. I thought, man, this is good, been saved. You know, and I never really had any problems in the Christian life. Well, until the day after I got saved. And then all of a sudden, man, I found this thing, a sin bell boiling up inside of me and all these difficulties and problems. I told you, I went home and told my sister, she wasn't happy at all. Yeah, I thought she was already saved. She's kind of sour anyway. And thought, man, everybody would be happy I'm saved. Went home and told some other folks I was saved. They wasn't happy. Thought, boy, what in the world's going on? And I found out in 37 years, you're going to go through some problems. You know, I thought when I became the pastor, I guess I was so stupid. I thought everybody just be delirious. I found out two of them ain't. And I would say three if Yvette was in here. Well, I asked Phil and Caleb's here, I guess. Oh, Caleb left. He got mad. He done left. Yeah, not everybody's happy with your decisions. Not everybody's happy with your stand. But God said, just stay with it. It all worked out. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I thought whenever I told you all about the building, I thought, glory to God, everybody's going to think I'm nuts. I think some did. And I thought whenever I told you we had owned that building, I thought, church, I never believed that. And less than a year later, well, just about a year later, that guy's offered us a $500,000 building for $80,000, which we still don't have, by the way, in case anybody feels impressed to go ahead and give that tonight. Appreciate a guy came in yesterday and said the Lord told him give $200 to it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know, there's some not happy about the building. In fact, they're just right down hateful about it. I'm thinking, I don't get that, Lord. But I'm still praising God. Amen. I don't care. Say, well, preacher, you know, not everybody sees your faith. Well, that's right. But you don't have to be ugly about it. Well, I'll tell you what, boy, preacher, you know, we're investing a lot in those college kids. Ain't getting nothing out of it. Boy, that's the truth. All that food we're putting in them rascals. But you know what? I still believe that's God's will for our church right now to reach them. Sure do. Boy, I'm so glad the girls came and then that family with the other girl came. And I don't know if they'll be back next week. I think maybe they might have a game somewhere away next weekend, but I don't know. But I've been blessed. Not everybody's happy about the college kids. Oh, that's just money we're throwing away. Well, whatever. Well, hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, all it is about money, 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 money. Yeah, I know. At least we got some to have something about. So I'm going to tell you today, ladies and gentlemen, not everybody's going to be happy about your faith. Not everybody's going to be happy about you. And your trials, they're going to be saying you get what you deserve, going through all that stuff. But that's all right. Just keep God on your side. Amen. Keep the focus right, and God will take care of it. I was praying the other day, out on one morning, and I said, Lord, I said, now I know. Maybe as early as this morning, I can't remember now. I said, now, Lord, I know you've got this $80,000 for us. I said, I'd really appreciate it if you didn't wait till December 31st to show up. I said, I'm already nervous about this stuff. Now, I know you that got better faith than I do, you're not. But I'm already nervous, all right? I'm like that fellow, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Amen? I'm not believing that God won't do it. I'm just wishing he'd hurry up and get it done. Amen. So if you're holding out to the last day, you're just killing me, brother, sister. Amen. Just don't do that. But I was praying and I said, now Lord, I said, now the devil's gonna try to convince us it won't work. That great faith won't work. And I was reading, and then I'm gonna quit because man, I'm telling you, the trying of your faith. This is what I'm going through. That's what we're going through, the trial of our faith. God wants to prove our faith. Do we have faith that God can give us $80,000 in less than 60 days? Do we have that kind of faith? Man, do we have faith that, remember me telling you, Greg said he would not sell that building less for $500,000 and he would not take a tax credit letter for it? And he said that right off the bat. He said, I'm not doing that and I'm not doing that. And no, now I'm not giving you the building. And I thought, still ours. Amen? That's what I thought. It's what the Lord said. And I never concocted this idea in my mind. And I was reading one day and I said, Lord, I know this is what you've given to us, and I'm confident of it. And the Lord showed me a verse and he said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And I've done the will of God. I'm just in that patient problem. Amen. I said, you know, boy, I've got a sister-in-law that could write out a check for $80,000. Thought about calling her. But I said, nope. Not going to do it. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Now, she may send it, but I doubt it. You know, I thought about this, and I thought about that, and I thought about it. And God said, Tim, I'm just trying to try your faith here. And I'm thinking, all right, I'm just going to wait. And I thought, well, you know, hey, Brother Charlie, I took Eloge home, and I said, now, here's where one of our church members live. And he says, which one? And I said, well, he sits back from you. He has a beard, and he says, oh, yeah. I don't know if he remembered you or not. But anyway, so I said, and your cows were all down by the fence. And I said, and then were all his cows. He went, you know, big white eyes. He goes, wow. He says, is he rich? I said, no, but his wife is. He kind of looked at me. But you know, from a kid don't have nothing, one cow would be a lot. Trying of your faith. You know, ladies and gentlemen, God is so good. He is so good. And I know we go through difficult. I know all of us do. But let's try. And I really do. I want you to know I really try to do what God tells me to do. And I try to, in troubles, I really try to keep my mind spiritually guided. But boy, there's sometimes whenever it's rough. But I try. And more times than not, I can really say this, I really prevail in this. But sometimes I just wonder, God, what's going on? I don't get this. How can this not work out best? This way. Take my advice, God, do it like this. And he never does. He said, just be patient. Okay. So I just wait. Somehow it all works together for good to them that love the Lord and called according to his purpose. Amazing, isn't it? How God just works it all out. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the day. I just pray now that you'll bless this time. And Lord, everybody in this room has had the trying of their faith. Whether it's been through physical problems. Several of these folks, God, have gotten that news of cancer and Lord, has just tried their faith. Some of them, God, have gotten bad financial news and has just tried their faith. Some's got health news and family news, and Lord, it has tried our faith. But you said, knowing that the trying of your faith, that we might be found into the praise and the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ at his appearing. And Lord, we really do want to commit ourselves to your praise. These troubles and the trying of our faith. God, whenever we know what your will is and we're trying to do it, and it seems like things are working against us, help us just to be patient and to trust you. And I pray, Father, that you'll work. God, I pray for a mighty working of the trying of our faith in this building. And Lord, I know today that this church has faith. And God, we have faith that you're going to do this. I thank you for all the folks that have been encouraged and been an encouragement to me. Lord, I confess again and again, we really don't need a building. We got enough buildings to choke a horse right now. But God, that's what you led me to have great faith in. And I want to thank you for the support. But God, this is trying our faith. Are you able to do it? You know, Lord, before, whenever it was just a possibility, we all know one day it's going to happen. Now, God, we got to come up with the money. Actually, Lord, you got to come up with the money because this is your will. This is something you led to do. And this is the confidence that we have in you, that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And if we know that you hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of you. So, Lord, today we come. And Lord, there's people going through different trials. I know Cindy's going through some family problems, and I know it's trying her faith. I know, Lord, some are going through some physical problems. And Lord, I know it's trying their faith. God, why? But Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Give us grace that we need. Give us grace that we need. I pray for my sister. And I pray, God, you'll draw her heart tonight. I pray as she lays there in the hospital and thinks that God, the Holy Spirit, will just invade her mind. Lord, while she sleeps, it'd be good if she'd think about eternal matters. Now, Lord, I can't save her, and I can't even get to her heart. But God, the Holy Spirit can. And we're going to depend on Him. And God, you said, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. And God, I ask you for her soul. Don't want her money. I don't want nothing she's got. But God, I want her soul. Think about old Dennis uptown. Some of the things that he has. But God, we pray for his soul tonight. Lord, I pray as we as a church strive to please you, I pray that you'll make manifest the power of God in this church. In Jesus we pray. Amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Ms. Sherry's playing the hymn of invitation.